The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the North Carolina Reading Service, well, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today will be I Love My Pirate Papa, a book by Laura Luke. And it is about a pirate and his little boy. I love my pirate papa. He's the bravest buccaneer. He helps me put my earring on. He helps me put my earring on and buckles up my gear. And there he is, helping his little boy get ready for the day. At dawn we hoist the anchor and raise our flag up in the breeze so Jolly Roger's face will warn the sailors on the seas. I get to walk along the plank and leap into his lap. I've learned the letter X because he lets me read his map. That's where they're going to look for the treasure. He shows me how to climb the stays. We shimmy up the mast. And when we spot the distant shore, I get to yell, "Avast!" "Land ho!" we yell to all our mates as we head toward the land. And then I help him haul the chest we dug up in the sand. They have a nice big treasure chest, I think. When we're finally back on deck, he divvies up the loot. He tosses me a bag of coins that I hide inside my boot. That must be really uncomfortable to hide a bag of coins inside your boot, don't you think? He takes me to the galley where we taunt our tired crew. We bang on Cookie's kettle if he's snoring near his stew. And there is a live octopus in the stew pot. And the octopus has grabbed the salt and pepper shaker and is shaking some salt and pepper on himself. Let's hope that octopus gets well cooked before they try to eat him. Dinner's grub and grape juice. We're sure to chomp and slurp. And then we have a contest. Who can belch the biggest burp? There are all those big old pirates burping a burp, and so does that little boy. He's learning very bad manners, isn't he, with all those pirates? And when the sun slips from the sky, he tucks me in my bunk. He reads me a book on Captain Hook that I keep inside my trunk. Then Papa kisses me goodnight and dims the lantern's glow. He whispers softly in my ear before he turns to go. I spent my life a-plundering. My treasures bring me joy. But there's nothing I prize more than you, my dearest pirate boy. Our next book is called The Rooster Who Would Not Be Quiet by Carmen Agra Deedy. There once was a village where the streets rang with song from morning until night. Dogs bayed, mothers crooned, engines hummed, fountains warbled, and everyone sang in the shower. Everyone and everything had a song to sing. This made the village of La Paz a very noisy place. It was hard to hear. It was hard to sleep. It was hard to think. And no one knew what to do. So they fired the mayor. Now they were a very noisy village without a mayor. And so they held an election. Only Don Pepe pronounced peace and quiet, and he won by a landslide. The next day, a very polite law appeared in the village square. No loud singing in public, por favor. Things were getting better already. But more laws soon followed. No loud singing at home. No loud singing. No singing. Basta, quiet already, until finally the noisy village of La Paz was as silent as a tomb. Not even dogs could bark. Even the tea kettles were afraid to whistle. Some people left the village, singing loudly. Others stayed behind and learned to hum. The rest were just graceful to have a good night's sleep. The others were just grateful to have a good night's sleep, for crying out loud. How awful. 7 very quiet years passed. Then one evening, a saucy gallito and his family wandered into the village and roosted in a fragrant mango tree. A gallito was a rooster. When the little rooster awoke the next morning, he did what roosters do, were born to do. In the morning, he sang, "Kee-kee-ree-kee." In other words, cock-a-doodle-doo is what we expect mangoes to say. As his rotten luck would have it, the mango tree grew beneath the cranky mayor's window. Uh-oh. "You there," groaned Don Pepe. "No singing. It's the law." "Well, that's a silly law," said the merry gallito. "Smell the sweet mango tree. How can I keep from singing?" "Humps." "Then I'll chop down that stinky tree," huffed Don Pepe. "Will you sing then?" The plucky gallito shrugged. "I might sing a less cheerful song, but I will sing." And he did. "Kikibriki!" And down came the beautiful, beautiful mango tree. Oh, there go all the mangoes. "Still singing," snapped Don Pepe. "You have no tree, remember?" "I have no tree," said the gallito, "but I have my hen and my chicks. How could I keep from singing?" "Will you sing if I throw you in a cage alone?" threatened Don Pepe. "I may sing a lonelier song," said the stubborn gallito, "but I will sing." And he did. "Kikikaree!" "Why are you singing now?" growled Don Pepe. "You have no hen and no chicks." "No hen and no chicks," the gallito sighed. "But I still have corn to eat. How can I keep from singing?" "And if you have no more corn?" asked the mayor. "I may sing a hungrier song," said the headstrong gallito, "but I will sing." And he did. "Kikikaree! Aren't you hungry, you crazy bird?" wailed Don Pepe. "Claro, of course," said gallito. "But if the sun can still shine despite this world's troubles, how can I keep from singing?" "And if you never see the sun again," snarled the mayor, and he ran for a blanket to cover the rooster's cage. "I may sing a darker song," said the brave gallito, "but I will sing." And he did. "Kikikaree!" And the gallito's song echoed down the soundless streets of La Paz. It stirred an old familiar longing for a time when everyone and everything had a song to sing. "Kari, kari, kiki, kari." Not so with Don Pepe. Singing gave him indigestion. The next day, Don Pepe stumbled out to the yard in his nightshirt. He tore away the blanket and pleaded, "You have no tree to roost in, no hen and no chicks to comfort you, no grain to fill your belly, no sun to drive away the shadows. Why, oh why, are you still singing? Promise to stop and I will set you free." One by one, a quiet crowd began to gather in Don Pepe's yard. I sing for those who dare not sing, or have forgotten how, said the gaito. If I must sing for them as well, senor, how can I keep from singing? And if I have you made into soup, the mare thundered, I suppose you will still sing if you are dead? The entire village held its breath, waiting for the gaito's reply. Dead roosters sing no songs. Ha! Cried Don Pepe, sure he had won. But a song is louder than one noisy little rooster, and stronger than one bully of a mare, said the gaito, and it will never die so long as there is someone to sing it. Kikikari, 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 kikikari. Once again, there was a village where the street rang with song from morning till night. It looks like that mare is running away. Adios, everybody seems to say. And it looked like the mare couldn't stand it anymore, and looked like all the townspeople were singing along with the rooster. Kikikari, kikikari. And suddenly the village was a very noisy place to live again. And that is just the way everyone seemed to like it. And the author says roosters always sing at sunrise. They also like to sing at noon and at sundown, and sometimes even in the middle of the night, which is very disturbing to people. Roosters sing when they please, and that's all there is to it. Much like roosters, human children are born with voices strong and true and irrepressible. Then, bit by bit, most of us learn to temper our opinions, censor our beliefs, and quiet our voices. But not all of us. There are always those of us who resist being silenced, those of us who will crow out their truth without regard to consequence, those of us who are either foolish or who are wise. They are the ones who give us the courage to sing. And we must always be brave enough to sing what we believe. And that is the end of the very important book. We must always be brave enough to sing out what we believe. Our next story is Aladdin, a very old fairy tale. Once there was a poor young man named Aladdin who was hopelessly in love with a sultan's daughter. Whenever Princess Aria passed by, his heart stopped. Aladdin knew that a poor boy could never win a sultan's daughter, but he swore that he would never love another. Next to the princess, what Aladdin loved most was exploring. One day he discovered a hidden cave, and inside he found an old oil lamp. This was no ordinary lamp. It had been hidden in a cave by a wicked and powerful magician. It was a dusty thing, and Aladdin began to polish it with his sleeve. All of a sudden, whoosh, a burst of light filled the cave. And out of the lamp, a genie appeared. "Master of the lamp," the genie boomed, "what is your wish?" Aladdin was astonished, and he knew just what to wish for. He said, "I wish for a fine gift, fine enough for Princess Aria." No sooner had he said the words than Aladdin found himself surrounded by wishes. "Your wish is my command," said the genie. "What else do you desire?" Aladdin wished for fine clothes and a good steed. Soon, dressed in princely clothes and riding in a fine stallion, he was off to the sultan's palace. The sultan and his daughter were charmed by Aladdin's friendly smile. After an enchanting afternoon, Princess Aria agreed to marry him. Aladdin commanded the genie to build them a grand palace, and in an instant it was done. Happy beyond measure, Aladdin still told no one, not even his dear Aria, about the magic lamp. One day, when Aladdin was away, the princess found the dusty lamp high on a shelf. Hours later, a peddler came walking through the streets crying, "New lamps for old! New lamps for old!" "Will you take this old tarnished one?" the princess asked. "Certainly," came the reply, for this man was not a peddler. He was the wicked magician who had hidden the lamp in the cave, and he was determined to get it back. As soon as he held the lamp, he rubbed it, and the genie appeared. "Carry this palace and all of us in it far to the desert," said the magician. In an instant, only bare ground remained where the palace had stood. When Aladdin returned home, he realized at once what must have happened. Without wasting a minute, he set out to find and to rescue Princess Aria. After wandering the desert for weeks, Aladdin discovered the palace. He snuck inside and surprised his bride. Aria was overcome with joy to see him. "We must get the lamp," said Aladdin. The princess said, "It is always by his side." So that night, as the magician slept, Aladdin crept into his room. He took the lamp and made a wish. When the magician awoke, he was asleep in the sand. Back in the city, Aladdin and the princess thanked the genie for all his help. Sultan was so happy that he gave Aladdin half his kingdom. From then on, Aladdin used the lamp only to do good for the people, and he shared his great riches with the poor. And that is the end of Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. And now for another very famous story, which you probably know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Once there was a lovely princess called Snow White. Her stepmother, the queen, was beautiful, but very vain. The queen loved to look into her magic mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is fairest of them all?" And the mirror always said, "Queen, you are the fairest of us all." But Snow White grew more beautiful as she grew older, and one day the mirror said, "Queen, thou art fairest that I can see, but Snow White is far more fair than thee." Furious, the queen called her guard and ordered him to kill Snow White. But the guard could not bear to hurt the innocent girl and simply took her deep into the woods, where he left her all alone. But he told the queen that Snow White was dead. Poor Snow White wandered through the frightening woods for a long while. At last she came to a little cottage. She knocked timidly at the door and was surprised when it was opened by the tiniest person she had ever seen. The cottage was owned by 7 friendly dwarfs. When they learned that the wicked queen had done to Snow White, they offered to let her live with them. Snow White agreed, and they settled into a happy routine. Each morning the dwarfs would go off to work, and each evening they would return to a warm supper and a house as neat as a pin. All the while, the queen believed that Snow White was dead. And then, one day, she stood in front of her magic mirror and said those familiar words, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is fairest of us all?" And the mirror answered, "Queen, thou art fairest that I see, but Snow White living in the glen with the 7 little men is 1,000 times more fair than thee." Imagine how shocked and angry the queen was. With magic spells she created a poisonous apple. Then she disguised herself as an old peddler and set off for the 7 dwarfs' cottage. Once there she called out, "Apples for sale! Delicious apples!" Snow White told the old woman she has no money. For one so pretty as you, this apple is free, the old woman said. Snow White could not resist. She took the apple and bit into it. As soon as she did, she fell down, still and cold. The evil queen laughed with glee and disappeared into the woods. When the seven dwarfs came home, they were heartbroken to find their dear Snow White lying there. She looked too beautiful to bury, so they placed her in a glass coffin and left her atop a high hill. Each dwarf took a turn keeping watch. Snow White lay there for a long, long time, but her appearance never changed. She seemed only to be sleeping. One day, a king's son rode by and was charmed by Snow White's beauty. He begged the dwarfs to move the coffin so that he could see her better. And as they picked the coffin up, a bit of apple fell out of her mouth, and she awoke. Seeing Snow White's lovely face made the prince joyful, and they walked and they talked, and soon they fell in love. The seven dwarfs were the guests of honor at the grand celebration of their marriage. A great feast was held, and Snow White danced with everyone. Before the night ended, she and the prince made the dwarfs promise to visit them often at the castle. And so they all lived happily ever after. Our next book is I'll Love You Till the Cows Come Home. And its author is Catherine Cristaldi. I will love you till the cows come home. From a trip to Mars through skies unknown, in a rocket ship made of glass and stone, I will love you till the cows come home. I will love you till the yaks come back from a jaunt downtown for a grassy snack in a fire truck. There's a yak driving a fire truck or a Cadillac. I will love you till the yaks come back. I will love you till the sheep set sail on a cruise ship brown bound for the Isle of Kale, past manatees or a humpback whale. I will love you till the sheep set sail. I will love you till the wolves return from a bumpy ride over rocks and fern. There the wolves are flying over in big old balloons, flying over the rocks up in the sky, and all the pigs are shouting with concern. I will love you till the wolves return. There are the pigs waving at them. I will love you till all the frogs ride past on big-wheeled bikes going super fast. There they are. In a circus for seahorses, shrimp and bass. I will love you till those frogs ride past. My goodness. I will love you till the deer dance by from a tap contest under the deep blue sky with a prize of clover and twig pot pie. I will love you till the deer dance by. Excuse me. I will love you till the geese flap down to a warm ski lodge with gourmet s'mores in all chocolatey brown. I will love you till the geese flap down. And there are two geese making s'mores outside over a nice campfire. And all the snow is softly falling around them. I will love you then and again and again. Till my love makes a bed for the cows in their pen, and their yaks, and the sheep, and the wolves settle in, and the frogs softly strum on their frog violins. And the deer and the geese and the ants close their eyes, and the moon sprinkles moon dust all over the skies. I will love you till the cows come home. Come home. I will love you until the cows come home. Isn't that a nice book about someone loving someone else for always? Now we have a few more minutes and we're going to read some nursery rhymes, which are very old rhymes that have been around for a very long time, some for over 200 years, maybe 300, 400 years. The first one is called Little Girl, Where Have You Been? Little Girl, Where Have You Been? I've been to see Grandmother over the green. What did she give you? Milk in a can. What did you say for it? Thank you, Grandam. This one is Molly, my sister, and I fell out. And what did you think it was all about? She loved coffee and I loved tea, and that was the reason we couldn't agree. Now, falling out means we had an argument. And here's another one. Dance, little baby, dance up high. Never mind, baby, mother is by. Crow and caper, caper and crow. There, little baby, there you go. Up to the ceiling, down to the ground. Backwards and forwards and round and round. Dance, little baby, and mother will sing. With the merry choral, ding, ding, ding. There's a little sister playing with her little baby sister. And the next poem is called, it's about rain. And it's called Rain on Green Grass, Rain on the Tree. Rain on the housetop, but not on me. And there's a little girl with a great big old umbrella and boots on her feet and a nice raincoat and a rain hat, so she's not going to get wet at all. And here's a little poem about bees and a rain again. If bees stay at home, rain will come soon. And if they fly away, fine will be the day. I guess that will tell you how to know if it's going to rain. If bees stay at home in their beehive, means that rain will be coming soon. And if they fly out of their hive, it means it'll be a very nice day. I did not know that. Here's one. Oh, here's a very famous one called Little Boy Blue that I knew when I was growing up. Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn. Where's the little boy who looks after the sheep? He's under the haystack, fast asleep. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.